The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And our interview here this morning focuses on the agriculture sector. We have with us, joining us again this morning, gentleman who's been with us before. That is the president of the Agricultural Society of Trinidad and Tobago. That's Mr. Dalram Prasad. Good morning to you. Welcome back to our program.
Hi, Satish. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners outside there. I've been listening to the program for the last couple of minutes as well.
So you can get a sense of the frustrations people are expressing when it comes to crime. I know that's magnified when it comes to farmers, because they're facing their own challenges as well, aren't they?
Of course. And as it pertains to crime, on that issue of predial larceny that the farmers also face, I listened to a caller just now speaking about when we make calls, or citizens, or even myself, make calls to the army to assist the police, is bringing a temporary relief to a permanent problem. Therefore, we really need to find permanent measures to deal with some of these criminal elements that we have outside there, because as it pertains to the boat. Because one person also said that once these persons are successful at what they are doing, they are now empowered to continue doing so. And it is the same in predial larceny, that once these persons commit predial larceny and realize that they are not, they don't have any challenges or whatever to face, or any charges to face, or they're not being caught, they're going to continue because we're actually empowering them.
So what do we do?
Right. Well, we heard the last budget there addressing some of the issues in agriculture. One of them listed as predial larceny, and I know that there are 80 officers in training, but again, the infrastructure for these individuals, the transportation and all these things needs to be put in place, because we cannot solve crime sitting behind a desk. Just as myself, I can't sit behind a desk every day. I need to be outside there meeting farmers in the issues. The same with the predial larceny squad, the police officers. We can't solve crime being behind a desk. We need to be out there, but at the same time, we can't blame the predial larceny squad, you know. We have to have the necessary transportation measures and whatnot. So in any employee that you will have, you need to provide the necessary tools for them to carry out their job at the same time. So we are hoping, it was rumored last year that the predial larceny squad were rumored to get at least 5 to 6 vehicles. And I'm hoping that within this fiscal year, that they are able to at least get those, because at the same time, I believe that they just have probably 1 or 2 vehicles outside there, which of course cannot cover the entire country.
Well, let's look at some of what was explained to us by our Minister of Finance. I'm sure that you would have been paying close attention to what the Minister of Finance has to say. But so let's get your opinion. The allocation for the fiscal year to come, and some of the incentives. He spoke about a $400 million excess, aside and apart from the allocation. Now, this is not the first time we've heard of this. Right? We hear about $500 million dollars last year and all of that kind of thing. So let me get your summary of what the finance minister had to say to us initially about the allocation, and then we could deal with this $400 million extra.
Well, firstly, I want to start with our Minister of Agriculture, because it has been a long time since we have a minister that actually gives a listening ear to the agriculture sector. So some of the things that were put forward from the Ministry of Agriculture, the minister has been paying attention and is trying to deal with some of the situations that we have in agriculture, right, being introduced into that sector. So I want to say thank you to him at the same time. But coming along to the budget, if you could recall, Satish, there was 1 year that we heard of a $600 million allocation for improvement in terms of agriculture, right? And here we are again with this package of $400 million for improvement in agriculture, $150 million, which is going to go for agricultural infrastructural development and maintenance, which is going to the Palo Seco agricultural enterprises, and another $250 million, which is going towards the incentive program. Bearing in mind that you know, there are questions that needs to be answered when we have farmers who have registered farmers, that is, who have made application, and for years some of them have not received any payments, or their claims were not honored under the incentive program. Then again, we have been calling for changes to the same incentive program to honor our farmers, those who are in production, because on many occasions I have mentioned that our farm, a big percentage of the farming community within Trinidad Tobago cannot access the incentive program at the same time. So if we are talking again on platforms of driving agriculture, promoting agriculture, I think we need to start to address these things that we are talking about, not today and not yesterday, but probably for the last 30 years or more, that we need to address some of these issues. Because one of the things that was discussed was leases. And leases is something in Trinidad Tobago that I am on the field almost every single day. And I would tell you that it still takes a farmer sometimes 20, 30 years to receive a lease. And by that time, he's going into retirement.
But okay.
One good thing. Go ahead, Satish.
Just to interrupt. Let's take up in the bit. What makes the lease process so complicated?
Well, firstly, we have an old, you know, more or less outdated process as it pertains to lease, right? Because at the same time, leases also has to go back to cabinet for approval. And I believe that, you know, we could put something else in place, a committee or such, or a cabinet committee or such, that could deal with this in a faster process. Because also, they wait until they have a certain number or amount of leases that then send forward to cabinet, right? So it's not to say, well, okay, we have these 10 leases on my desk here, I'm going to send that forward. They wait for a certain amount, then to send it forward. And the process itself is rather frustrating to a farmer, because, of course, the criteria to access anything in agriculture, the first question is, do you have a lease? Do you have a deed? Do you have permission to use land? But if we are talking about driving agriculture and driving production, why not make the incentive program accessible to our brothers who, right, are also squatting, but we can identify that they have been in that location for a couple of years?
Yes.
Right, because there are terms and conditions which states that if you are on a portion of land for a particular amount of time, you will be able to qualify for the farmer's badge. But it states that, but that is not what is happening. And we need to put things in place to drive that aspect of agriculture.
You know, it's interesting that every time we speak, this matter rears its head. Let me make a statement, and you tell me whether or not what I'm saying is factual or being unfair, whatever else. I am of the opinion that some of these allocations we hear about in the budget are announced fully well knowing that they will never be used, simply because of the problems that you are outlining at this point in time and the many hurdles that farmers have to jump over in order to access some of these things. I am clearly of the opinion that the $600 million, which went to $500 million, that is now $400 million special allocation, was announced fully well knowing that it may never be used, but it's only for political purposes to signal or send a signal that we care about agriculture. What do you think of my position?
Well, you see, on that end, now they state that it is based upon availability of funds, right? So back in time, for example, when a budget was read, I'll just give an example. Let's say the Agriculture Society, and it stated that our allocation is 3 million or 4 million or whatever it is. We would get a quarterly release in which we could now budget for programs and projects and all these things, right? As it is now, what is taking place, because they are stating now that is based upon availability of funds, right? So this is what is allocated. And as you are saying there, Satish, we are not very certain to receive all that at the same time, right? So we may make a request, right, for something, for a project or whatnot, and they can also They will also state, well, based upon availability of funds, you were unable to complete that process there. But something that came to my mind, and when they started to read out areas in terms of infrastructural work, it only went as far as one area, which I know that the program of works for that area started in the last physical and not in the current physical, which was for the, when they started to read out infrastructural development, they listed Plumitan. And after Plumitan, there was a full stop. We have improved infrastructure and so on at Plumitan. And then after that, what has happened to the infrastructure in Orange Grove, Maloney, Saparia, Jerningham, Felicity? What is taking place with infrastructural development in these other agricultural areas? And the work that took place in Plumitan is one that was mandatory because the bridge to enter the planting project had collapsed. So therefore, we waited till the bridge collapsed and the farmers almost had no access to the planting project to go inside there and look at improving the infrastructure. But at the same time, I have been making calls publicly, you are aware, for agricultural infrastructure development and maintenance at the same time. So taking into consideration, Satish, that we need to start thinking, and I always say, how prepared are we to deal with the changes that we are facing due to the climate issues that we are having now, right? So if we take into consideration that last year, at this point in time, we were drowning, right? And this time, this year, right, we are in the desert. But making calls for agricultural infrastructure will work both ways, as the water, in one way we are calling to remove the water, but the channels can also be used once cleared. The water from the channels can also be used to irrigate our crops. So at one point in time, it works both ways at the same time. And what I think is necessary, something that used to happen years ago, and I think it's something that we should bring back, is where all the agencies used to meet together that surround agriculture and whatnot. So you would have a meeting with heads of works and transport, Ministry of Agriculture, the regional corporation, and see how best we can fix the situation surrounding agriculture at the same time too. Because it's going to take a collaborative effort if it is that we are to properly utilize the funds that was allocated. So for example, that $150 million that is going to Palo Seco Agricultural Enterprises, I am hoping that there is going to be a collaborative effort between the Agriculture Society and other agencies in how we go about identifying the areas that are in dire need of agricultural infrastructural improvement, and how we rank them in accordance to the level of necessity going back, right? Because at this point, I know that there are some cases where almost everybody is going to be on a red alert, where we need to have certain things done. But we need to prioritize, and we need to partner with these agencies, because at the same time, we can help to be the eyes and ears outside there and get that job done. Instead of, and I've been saying it, many times persons sit down in a chair and they would point at one another. The time for that, I believe, has passed. Do not point at one another because you are only blaming yourself after. We need to come together to get the job done.
We need to take a couple quick messages, but when we get back, of course, we continue our discussion right here with the president of the Agricultural Society, Dan Rambus. I'll take some of your calls as well. Stay with us.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. So 14 minutes before 8, news at the top. Speaking about the agriculture sector with us, President of the Agricultural Society, Dalram Prasad. Let's take some of your calls. 627-3223. 625-2257. And your WhatsApp messages, send those to 306-1065. As we wait for a call, there was somebody just, I don't know what's going on, Somebody asking a question here. Oh, we have. Let's see. We have this call. Hello. Good morning.
Morning, Satish, and our listeners, and Mr. Rampersad, right? Mr. Rampersad, your duty and your group is to work together with the government to produce food at affordable prices, right?
Right.
Now, my interest is this. Would you have an idea as to last year's budget? How much money you now remember the word allocate. Don't be fooled by that. Allocate is different from what you're actually getting. Do you have any idea as to last year how much money was spent in recurrent expenditure and how much on capital development, sir? Do you have any idea, please?
That information wouldn't become available until probably November as to the total figures that was actually spent.
Okay, thank you so much, caller, for that. People asking, because obviously allocation is one thing, actually spending is another. And we all know how things go when it comes to that. And until we get the actual figures, it's going to be difficult to make any kind of pronouncement on that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
I could safely say that out of what was allocated, that $300 million, I'm almost certain that we didn't utilize at least 50% of that. You know, so hopefully this year, as I said, the budget catered to what we were asking for, but implementation is another part. Allocation is another part. So we need to see what happens there.
Yeah. So we've spoken a lot about the, I think we have another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hello?
Yes, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning to you. Yes. I just have a question regarding the heat situation in high temperature. Right now, has there been any guidelines, instructions, information being provided by the Ministry of Agriculture to farmers in terms of how to cope with the situation?
Okay, thank you so much for your call.
Well, there was a statement that was circulated that Predalarcini squad is up and running and well and meeting with farmers on a regular basis. And I had called BS on the statement because that was not a true statement that was being circulated, and I am also not here to sugarcoat any statements coming from anywhere at the same time, because the reality, I will not see the farmers of Trinidad and Tobago suffering and turn a blind eye to a fake or false statement being circulated outside there that the squad is up and running and visiting farmers on a regular basis, when the truth and the fact is that the first issue that comes up when you visit a farming community or a farming group for a meeting is Predalarcini. So I had called BS on that statement there, because we need to get things up and running and we need to find a permanent solution to a permanent problem, not a temporary solution to a permanent problem.
Somebody sending a message. Good morning. It takes a farmer 1 year or more to get rebates and subsidies. It's just too long a process. From the discussion. Okay, we have another call. Let's take this one. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay, Lahokita. I think that's you on the line. We're not hearing you. So farmers continue to be confronted by all of these challenges in getting the job done. And from what you've outlined, it's a long, lengthy process, and nobody seems to want to fix these things. So how do we move forward in getting some of these things addressed? Who do you lobby? How do you agitate?
Right. So, Satish, as it pertains to that, as I mentioned before, and to the person that sent the message in terms of taking a year, we have farmers that have claims inside for up to actually 3 years. And that is why I said that there are certain questions that needs to be asked and answered as to, is the $250 million dealing retroactive, or is it from this point as well going forward? Because are we going to address the claims that we already have inside, or are we just moving from point A again to point B and throwing whatever in the pass outside? But again, this is going to take a collaborative effort between all parties. So for example, a lot of the farmers send it across to me, and I will also have to send it back to the ministry asking questions. But the way out of that is a collaborative effort in terms of working alongside our extensions, our agricultural officers and whatnot outside there, doing regular follow-ups and whatnot, and getting the answers. Because right now, there's a big percentage of the registered farmers now who are complaining that they are not properly accessing the incentive program. And there are a few things that needs to be adjusted besides the criteria in the incentive program. One of it being that if it is that you have attained a farmer's badge within the area of Sandy Grande, and you started farming in the vicinity of, for example, Valencia, you cannot make any claims in that area. So you are a farmer in Sandy Grande, but you are not a farmer when you go to Valencia. So if I receive an ID card in Sandy Grande, when I go to Arima, am I no more a Trinidadian citizen? So certain things need to be adjusted, right? Another issue is that even when you send the farmer's card to renew, if your card is within renewal or if your card has expired, you will not be able to properly access incentives as well at that period. And second to that, sometimes when you send for a renewal, we need to get that system up and running a little faster. For example, if I'm going to renew my driver's permit, I will do that in a couple of hours. Why does it take a farmer's badge up to 8 months to renew? That process as well, we need to look into that process and shorten that process as well, because it takes too long as well just simply to renew the farmer's card at the same time.
Yeah. We need to take a couple messages to take us up to news. And then, of course, on the other side, we take some more of your calls. Let's take a call before we head to news. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Satish. Good morning to your guest. To your guest there, Satish. I've seen in St. Vincent, for example, a huge variety of callaloo bush, big like a house and an umbrella, that does not need to be grown in marshy conditions. Could be grown on a hillside, basically. They say it's the end product of scientific research that has been done and passed on to the people of St. Vincent, the farmers community of St. Vincent, and they've been planting it with fantastic results. I know that you know that Guyana has is currently in the midst of an agricultural revolution. Soybean, I saw somebody the entire field of peanuts. They're trying things that have never been tried before. Wheat, for example, is currently being grown in Guyana. And the president of Guyana is not shy about picking up a hoe and going in the middle of a field and meeting and greeting with farmers. Do you feel that Trinidad and Tobago can do more in terms of revolutionizing its agricultural sector? And perhaps, I don't know if we have to bring back the sugar industry, whatever it has to be done, but I think there's much more that can be done. Do you see your role in your position in the agricultural society? Do you think that there's more that you can do to pass on to our farmers the need to diversify what they plant and how they plant? I thank you.
Thank you so much.
Right, so that is interesting, and I really recognize that contribution that was given there. So on another note, we also, on my end from the Agriculture Society, are on the ground almost every single day visiting farmers, driving agriculture, promoting all aspects of agriculture, lending some sort of encouragement. The issue is, and Guyana, as we are stating, is now getting into agriculture. And when Trinidad really started to go into different crops and move away from sugar and all these things, we created that same incentive program, which is in discussion. And if you were to get a copy of the incentive program, Trinidad and Tobago has one of the best incentive program that will cater to all the needs of the farmers. But what we are talking about this morning is how do we make that incentive accessible to those in production that actually drive agriculture to lend support and encouragement to the farmers of Trinidad and Tobago. We need to change the sector from the farming community being one of our begging community, because that is how I see it now. For us farmers to get anything done, we have to continuously beg, could we please get this drain cleared? 6-7 letters being sent. Could we get an excavator for 2 days? We have to continue to beg, but I think that it's time that we start paying respects to these individuals that put food on our tables on a daily basis, because what we are asking for is really accessibility. Accessibility meaning to road or proper roads to reach our farm, accessibility in terms of drainage, accessibility in terms of what is available to us, or what was said, or what is supposed to be available to the farming community. And I am certain that there once upon a time was a time when these things were more available coming from the government side. And I believe that at that point it drove agriculture right in a more rapid or forward direction. And if it is that we can get that movement again as to what is supposed to be available to these farmers, I assure you that you are going to see a big difference in terms of production and quality. Because bearing in mind that they spoke of bringing all aspects of agriculture tax-free, right? But for years, majority of the things in agriculture has been tax-free as well. What we need to see is the availability of the incentive program to drive production within Trinidad and Tobago at the same time. So this is something that we need to have a sit down with between the Agriculture Society, maybe our Minister of Agriculture, and even the Ministry of Finance, as to how we go about making those changes and making these things available to those in production. Because the budget was well delivered and well gifted and packaged and whatnot, right? And we know that there are some surprises inside there later down the road, but we want to see that these things are implemented. And as I said, they continue to say based upon availability of funds, which could also be used as an excuse later down the road that funds were not available for so and so. But let's see what's going to happen, because it catered to the needs of the farming community. But we as the citizens also have a duty to ask questions and ensure that these things take place at the same time.
Yeah, we need to take a break because news is next. And following the 8 o'clock news, we take some more of your calls on the other side of 8 with our special guest. And that, of course, is head of the Agricultural Society, Dalram Prasad.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. 4 minutes after 8 to the final hour of our show here this morning. With us for a bit again, President of the Agricultural Society, Dalram Prasad. And of course, some of your calls, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, your WhatsApp messages, keep sending those to 3061065. Mr. Rampasad, we've spoken about a lot this morning. Let's get to some of what the Agricultural Society would have liked to be included in the budget, but probably was not.
Well, what we were looking for, and it was included actually, it is the improvement in terms of agricultural infrastructure. We have been calling for that for quite some time, right? What we didn't see properly included was how we intend to improve the pre-larceny squad or the pre-larceny issues that we are facing right now in Trinidad and Tobago. We heard that they are looking at improving, but we didn't properly hear of any significant allocation that is going to be dealing with just that issue of pre-larceny. I was hoping that for the last year, seeing what the farmers went through and with the pre-larceny issue being escalated to one in which our farmers have become fearful for not just their crops, but for their lives as well, because we had quite a few attacks of one or two farmers being attacked in their house, tied up, their vehicles being taken away, and that kind of thing, where Peter Larceny has escalated to a level of organized crime, right? Because it doesn't seem to be that some of these things are the spur of the moment. Such activities has now been added to what we can consider as organized crime. And that level in which we have reached to, in terms of, I know one businessman as well who has an agriculture retail outlet, was also held up at gunpoint while he was asleep and tied up, and his vehicle and whatnot was taken away. And adding to that conversation he was having before, he was actually forced to close his business because he was actually fearful for his life and his family's life at the same time, seeing that the business is being run out of their home or in the vicinity of the same compound as their home as well too. So the elements of crime is also affecting our persons in the agricultural input or retail department of agriculture at the same time. So these are things that we really need to pay particular attention as it pertains to that issue of predial larceny. I can't preach it enough because the complaints that come on a daily basis as it pertains to predial larceny, it is very heartbreaking to know that the farmers outside there, after being self-employed individuals and making their investment into agriculture, are facing these type of losses in which they depend on to care for their families and their households and whatnot.
Yeah, let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Patish, good morning to you, and good morning to your guests. I would like to say everything Mr. Rampersad is talking about is absolutely true, because in my area here, predial larceny is a burning issue here right now.
Where is your area?
Jerningham Junction.
Okay, go ahead.
Right? The larceny is a very serious problem here right now. So, glad to say a farmer was beaten up and his vehicle was taken away from him. He got back his vehicle last week. Right? But we need to hear where is the spending going for predial larceny, how much is spent, and what is going on.
Okay.
And next thing, I know you all are going into election mood. So I don't know if the president want to touch on some of the things he is going to do for the farming area.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your call. Mr. Rampersad, elections, the ASTD coming up sometime soon or something?
Well, in January of next year, we will have our annual general election of the Agriculture Society of Trinidad and Tobago. But I believe once it is that you continue to do your duty, the election is just part of the process that needs to take place at the same time.
But,
you know, it's a healthy process to ensure an opportunity was given to those who are members of the society to choose who they want as their president and committee of management and whatnot.
Right.
However, there are certain aspects and certain projects that the ASCT wants to see taking place. So, for example, we have been talking about the increase in feed prices. And what are we doing as it pertains to the increase in feed prices? We have been seeing that the livestock sector is one that is almost dead in Trinidad and Tobago at the same time. And coming up next year, or even starting this year, we are going to start pasture rotation and these kind of things, right? Creation of pastures and teaching our farmers how we go about rotating pastures and whatnot to reduce the cost of a production in terms of as it pertains to feed. We were also recently able to acquire some small equipments as well that is going to be made available to the farming community to drive agriculture and land preparation in small farming clusters as well, where heavy machinery is not available, or even to youths and women who want to get into agriculture at the same time to drive agriculture from that that aspect. And while saying so, we have a youth program right now taking place in agriculture, and it has been getting quite a lot of attention lately. Kudos to that minister. He's doing a wonderful job in that ministry of youth. I am paying close attention. I'm observing he's outside, he's carrying about, he's having caravans and whatnot. It's a wonderful opportunity for the youths outside there. But at the same time, whilst we are encouraging young people into agriculture, we need to fix the issues, because we can't set up these children or these youths. We can't butter a situation for them to reach across that plate of salt.
Yeah.
We need to put the necessary measures in place so that what our existing farmers are suffering from now, when we prepare these youths, we prepare them and we send them out in the proper way, that these issues in which we are facing, and I know that agriculture is not a quick fix at the same time, but there are ways to improve some of these things that you spoke about earlier, Satish, including leases and all of that, right? So if it is that we can address these measures here, it will adequately place these youths in a more promising future at the same time in agriculture. But if it is that we encourage these youths to go into agriculture and then meet these same problems, this generation in which we are trying to encourage, we are going to lose in agriculture at the same time too.
Let's take
right? Because we need to be futuristic, but at the same time, we need to know how we take that part.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, hello, good morning. Thanks for this, Mr. Officer. We have done a very good job in terms of identifying the problems that currently exist. And that's mainly on two areas. One, the delayed implementation and delivery in terms of subsidies, and also the pre-lasting problem. But what I'm not hearing from Mr. Officer is that what he intends to do to force or to influence that process so that the ministry responds positively on both on with respect to both issues. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much for
right. So I don't know if the caller missed it, but what I stated is that we have presented a proposal or suggestion towards the changes that needs to take place within the incentive program to make it more accessible or available to those individuals who are in. Right, so we are going to continue, and we are reaching out to our farmers at the same time, because we also intend to send a signed petition by those who are unable to access it and bring that completely to the attention of those in authority as to how we should be or why we should be addressing such an issue if we are to drive agriculture.
Let's say what might be our final call for the interview. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish, and good morning to the President of the Agricultural Society. I just want to say, you said something?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, right. I just want to ask a question of him. You know, on this very same frequency, I oft hear advertisements from the Agricultural Development Bank, I would say virtually begging farmers to come in for loans. Additionally, we know that a very long time ago, acres and acres of land have been given away to ex-carrying workers to cultivate. And most of them want to sell it. Most of them aren't doing any sort of farming. I can name many other issues in relation to how the state has been reaching out to farmers and the agricultural society. So when the whole question comes up as to, you know, farmers and the state is not supporting them as they should, I really don't equate that with what I see has been happening. So I just want to bring that forward and I listen to your comments.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call.
Well, clearly, what the caller is speaking about is what he's hearing or what he's... I believe that if he was walking in the shoes of a farmer outside there and listening to this program based upon criteria... I am on the field with the ADB as well, which is our sister organization. Almost every month we make visits to farmers and whatnot with the Agricultural Development Bank. And sometimes our farmers are unable. Yes, the ADB is making a call. These guys are doing their duty outside there and making a call and going on, alongside the agriculture society. But if it is that our farmers are not able to fit the criteria because of one particular reason, they are unable to access the finance. So you are hearing correctly that they are reaching out, and they are reaching out to the society. But as it pertains to the criteria, this is what needs to be addressed right away to get the system to have a proper flow, is what we're speaking about right now. So he's correct. They are reaching out, but at the same time, when they reach out, when the farmers get in, plenty of them walk away because they are unable to access it.
Yeah. Let's take another. Oh, we have a couple of calls, so let's take them. Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
President of the EACT, Mr. Rampersad. This is your former colleague, also Mr. Rampersad.
Good morning, sir.
I have a concern I want to raise with you, and this is probably the third consecutive year post the budget that I'm raising this issue. In terms of predial larceny, there are hundreds of farmers or owners of land, I should not say farmers because they're not actively farming, who have these two-acre parcels that they would have gotten from Karani. And the main issue, the main reason they will give you that they are not farming, is the main reason is predial larceny. And whilst I'm hearing there are plans to ramp up the operations and give more resources to the predial larceny, I am quite resolute in my belief that the predial larceny is not going to be preventing any theft. They may just be reacting and responding and going and doing their investigations and so on. But they're not going to be preventing any theft of farmers' produce outside there. I am convinced of that. And I have been asking and recommending to allow farmers to have at least a dwelling unit, something small and controlled, where they can have workers. Many, many farmers, if you go outside there and do a little investigation, do a little report and bring back, and you will see these farmers, they have workers. They want to plant the land, and if they have a worker who can stay on the land, that is security right there. You can have hundreds of security outside there staying on site, but these are workers, right? And they would help with the issue of predial larceny. You're definitely not going to have any prevention of theft. All these people are going to be doing is just responding. So it's something I want you to consider, Mr. Rampersad. And also, just before I go, a question. Are there any moves by the ministry to assist the ASCT with resources at this time? I know it has been quite difficult for the ASCT. Where are you all at this time? Thank you very much.
So I welcome that caller there, my colleague. I always say he's my brother, but not blood related, Mr. Rampersad. The suggestion is a very valid one, and one that we need to take into consideration. And it also deals with changing of the legislation or the rules as it pertains to lands that was actually distributed at the same time too. For example, those 2-acre plots that in some of these areas, some of them are 5 acres, some of them are 20 acres. But some of them, the arrangement states that you are not allowed to build a dwelling unit on the same. And I fully agree with Mr. Rampersad there that if we are allowed to build a small dwelling unit that in which at least the workers are able to stay on the farm, what you will have there now is actually someone acting as a security there. Therefore, these individuals who are involved in predial larceny, they know that there's someone there which is going to act as a deterrent for these individuals coming onto the farm. But in many occasions now, as a farmer, when we leave our fields, we go home and we don't come back till the next day. But I also happen to know, as a matter of fact, where we also place our lives at risk. Myself as well, once upon a time, and colleagues of mine, farming, planting watermelon and whatever. When it's close to harvesting time for our crops, we have to actually build a camp and sleep in the land to ensure that nobody comes to interfere with our crop. So I fully agree with Mr. Rampersad there stating that we should allow dwellings onto some of these things. But what we also need to take into consideration is that when we allow these things, that we also need to set up a proper committee or body coming out from State Land Department to deal with such. Because we have an existing situation outside there, and I know that we are almost out of time, where you make certain visits to some farms where on the large farm was allowed to have one house. And after going back a couple of years, you realize that there are four or five houses built on the same land. But where were we when the houses were being erected? We need to put a proper body in place to enforce state land regulations at the same time, because we can't go after the fact that we were missing in action for years and then say, where did this house come from and who allowed it and why did it go up? We need to ensure that state land regulations are being enforced properly. So some of the things that we actually see taking place outside here is again because we didn't have proper regulation in place. And that the final question in terms of what was asked by Mr. Ambassad, the ASTT after many years was able to get back a very small subvention within the agriculture society, which would probably amount to a few $100,000. But we take it as a step forward at the same time, coming from having zero subvention in the last couple of years. We have started back to receive some subvention. And I want to say thank you to our minister for giving the society that listing A. But in order to properly utilize our subvention, we hope that we will have a proper partnership and going forward, a collaborative effort, as we are calling for, between the ministry and other organizations surrounding agriculture in Trinidad and Tobago.
I guess we're going to have to leave it here this morning. It's been a pretty interesting discussion, but a final question to you. Based on what we've been seeing, the trends and the allocations in the budget this year and the special allocation and so on, can farmers expect things to get better or not?
Well, Satish, if things happen as it has happened in the past with the last couple, which was called, again, the 600 and the 300 and whatnot, if things continue in that direction, things are not going to get better. However, if we are able to make these changes and implement them and have those funds really available to what it was prescribed for, things can get better. So going back to the beginning of that, I will continue to say that this year we feel hopeful from what was read, but we are yet to see what takes place.
I want to thank you for being with us here this morning. It's been an interesting discussion, and I'm sure we'll have many more as we continue to pick apart what's going on in this financial year. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.